Welcome to the Chlorine King Podcast, where your host, Eric Taylor, will discuss tips for the do-it-yourselfer, answer listeners' questions, conduct product reviews, and host special guests from the pool industry. Grab your swimsuits and let's dive in.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Chlorine King Pool Service Show Podcast. I apologize it's taken so long to get another episode out there, but we've been inundated with a lot of things going on. The first thing was Hurricane Irma. You know, we had a lot of damages out there on my pools from the storm, so trying to get caught up in all that, and also just catching up, cleaning them up after the storm. You know, we had personally lost power for about a week and a half, so that really put us behind on doing the podcast, and things are finally starting to slow down as far as the workload from catching up from the storm, so that's a great thing. We also just launched our first commercial. You can check that out on YouTube or my website at chlorinekingpools.com. We're super excited about that, and really displays how we provide excellent pool service for my clients, and check it out. And then also, rarely excited to announce that we hired our first employee. He's my soon-to-be brother-in-law, and he's doing very well. He's training with me for the next couple months until he's ready to go, and then I'm going to set him out and help you guys keep your pools crystal clean and clear. So, got all those things going on, and now we're excited to focus back on the podcasts. Before we discuss the main topic this evening, let's talk with Jessica. She emailed me and asked, "Eric, is a variable speed pump really worth it?" And the short answer, Jessica, is yes, it really is, and here's why. A single speed pump or non-variable speed pump runs at 3450 RPMs all day long from the time you turn it on to the time you turn it off. And because of that, you're using a very high wattage the entire time. Now, the pool pump is the second largest energy consumer in the household, so you can see why it's so important that if we can actually dial it back and save some energy there, you can really equal a large savings in your pocket. So a variable speed pump, you actually get to dial down the RPMs and run it for whatever speed you want for however long you want. Usually, you run the pump near full speed for the first couple hours a day, and then you run it for the majority of the day, say 10 or 11 hours at a much lower speed. And then the final speed, you know, you may decide to run it a little harder, or you can run it even less. And because of that, the majority of the time it's on, you're running at a lot less wattage, and that's where your money savings is. Also, from a replacement standpoint, because it's not running at such a high speed all the time, it's really going to last longer too. So you're going to be replacing that piece of pool equipment less frequently too. Again, a larger savings. You can pay the pump off by all the money it saves between year one and two. And then every year after that is just a larger savings for you and more cash in your pocket. So again, yes, it truly is worth it. And actually, if you want to listen in more on that topic, I believe it's episode 4. I talk about energy efficiency with Pentair Aquatics and actually really dive into this topic. So it'd be a great episode for you to listen to. So hopefully that answers your question, Jessica. If it doesn't, don't hesitate to give me a call so we can discuss this in further detail. So while mulling over what to discuss here in this podcast, I decided to actually start a chemical series for all the main chemicals in the pool that, you know, my service tests for each week, and then also what you guys should test for as a homeowner if you don't have my service to make sure your pool stays in check. The chemical number one we're going to discuss is chlorine. And chlorine is actually one of the most important chemicals in the pool that you should test for each week, because that's what actually keeps the pool healthy. It helps sanitize the pool and also your spas if you decide to use chlorine in the spa. So there's two types of chlorine. You have stabilized and unstabilized. Unstabilized chlorine is forms of chlorine that doesn't have stabilizer or cyanuric acid in it, such as liquid chlorine, chlorine gas, even though that's not really used anymore, calcium hypochlorite. Those are all forms of unstabilized chlorine, whereas stabilized chlorine has that stabilizer built into it to help stabilize it. You know, the examples of those would be things like dichlor and trichlor, granular chlorine, also the 3-inch tablets. Those are all forms of stabilized chlorine, because as that chlorine is being used, you know, it's emitting the cyanuric acid into the water as well, whereas the unstabilized version of chlorine doesn't have that. So those are the two main types. Now that we got that figured out, some different types of chlorine, now how much should I have in my pool? Well, according to the National Swimming Pool Foundation, it's recommended that we have about 1 to 4 parts per million of chlorine in your pool. However, there should be a little asterisk there. That's stated more for commercial pools where the cyanuric acid levels in check and there's code, again, how much cyanuric acid you have in the pool. There is no such rule in residential pools, so oftentimes you have a cyanuric acid level that's way too high. And because of that, you need more chlorine. There's a specific relationship between those two chemicals. The chlorine reading should be about 7.5% of the cyanuric acid level reading in order to keep a pool clear and algae-free. For instance, for easy numbers, let's say you have a pool with cyanuric acid reading of 100. That means in order to keep the pool algae-free, you need to have a minimum of 7.5 parts per million of chlorine in the pool in order to keep it clear. And that's nearly double of the maximum recommended range of what the National Swimming Pool Foundation recommends. So before you figure out how much chlorine you need to have in your pool, you need to figure out first what your cyanuric acid level is and adjust from there. Now you're probably asking yourself, Eric, don't I need to shock my pool every week? You might, and you might not. But let's clarify what shock actually is. Shock is not a product you buy at the store. You know, you go in the pool store and you're like, hey, I need a lot of chlorine. So they sell you these fancy little expensive packages of chlorine called Shock, promising it's the best thing ever. And it's nothing else other than trichlorogranular, dichlorogranular, or calhypo. But they market it that way as Shock to make you think you're buying a superior product when it's not. My favorite form of chlorine to use is liquid chlorine because it doesn't have any side effects. You're not adding anything else to the water other than a negligible, immeasurable amount of salt. But that's beside the point. You're not having to worry about, hey, do I have the right amount of calcium? Is my stabilizer correct before I add any of it? Because the other forms of chlorine you have to worry about. So again, liquid chlorine or unstabilized chlorine is my favorite form to add. One of the problems with it with the service companies is that, you know, it's a lot heavier. You have to use more of it. You know, you got to use a gallon of chlorine, liquid chlorine, to get the same effect as you do 1 pound of what they call Shock at the pool store. So a lot of companies don't use it, but again, that's just my favorite. So now you have calcium hypochlorite, also known as calhypo. That's great because it's a heavier concentration of chlorine. For instance, liquid chlorine is 11 to 12% depending on where you buy it. And household bleach like Clorox is 6%, just to put things in perspective. Whereas calcium hypochlorite could be 68, 73% of concentration of chlorine. But the problem is it adds a side effect. It adds calcium to your water every time you use it. So, I mean, if you have a pool with high calcium, you're not going to want to go and use calcium hypochlorite because you're going to be compounding that negative issue with your chemistry. So then you have things like trichlor or dichlor or the trichlor tablets. One of the side effects of that is it adds stabilizer to your pool because it's a stabilized form of chlorine. So if you have a high stabilizer reading, you're not going to want to add any of that trichlor or dichlor because you're going to be compounding your stabilizer problem every time you use it. And the common pool owner isn't aware of those things, so they keep buying these products and going home just dumping it in blindly because a pool store is telling them that and not really keeping in consideration the best interests of their pool. So before you know it, you start adding chlorine like the trichlor or dichlor granular, and you keep adding it, and before you know it, you get a green pool. After you're adding it, you're wondering why. Well, it's because your stabilizer's through the roof and the chlorine's not working properly. So before you figure out what type of chlorine you're going to use or what you'd want to use, you need to figure out what all your chemical readings are so you can best diagnose which type of chlorine to use in your pool. So we talked about shocking your pool earlier. What's that process actually mean? Well, essentially, it's just achieving a ratio we want, a 10-to-1 ratio. What's that ratio? It's bringing your chlorine level up 10 times the amount of every 1 part per million of free and available chlorine we have in your pool. In other words, if you have 1 part per million of free chlorine, we want to bring the chlorine level up to 10. If you have 2 parts per million of free chlorine, we want to bring it up to 20. That will achieve the breakpoint or superchlorination that you need in order to, you know, attack the chloramines or kill the algae or whatnot. So how much chlorine do you need to do that? Well, going off of 10,000 gallons, that's what most packages and products go from, and then you just multiply the dosage from there based on your gallonage. But sodium hypochlorite, liquid chlorine, you basically need 1 gallon per 10,000 gallons to shock your pool, given that your free and available chlorine is at 1 part per million. Dichlor and trichlor, you need 1 1/3 pounds. For calcium hypochlorite, you need 1 1/4 pounds. Those are the amounts of chemicals you need to shock your pool, given that you have 1 part per million of chlorine and your cyanuric acid levels in check. So hopefully those are some helpful tips. Stay tuned to next week as we talk about our next chemical, which will be pH. We'll talk about that in depth, what it does to the pool, how do you adjust it, and all that. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
That's all for tonight, and thanks for tuning in. Please send any comments or ideas, how-to and guest appearance requests, and product review suggestions to eric@chlorinekingpools.com. Remember, if life piddles in your pool of dreams, just add some chlorine and keep swimming. See you next time.